Double C podcast.
Luke Smith will help you out. Just a bit of a touch on this current Royal Commission into banks. Have you got a knee-jerk on this or a feeling on this?
Oh, look, not really. I think if you have a Royal Commission into just about anything, you can definitely find something to have a crack at. I think there have been things that have been absolutely untoward and should be punished. I think there's a lot that's going to be open to interpretation, and I don't think people should be disadvantaged because of a narrow-minded bank approach. I think it's important to be able to go into something with an open platform and people make informed decisions. And I guess in my industry and in my line of work, educating people and trying to make sure that they understand what they're doing with clear and concise information shouldn't be driven by a product.
No.
And I think in a banking environment, there may have been a history of a product-driven decision. Is it illegal? No. Does it pass a sniff test? Maybe, maybe not. These sorts of things are always open to interpretation in the eyes of the person purchasing the the advice or the product. But I think there's going to be definitely a clean-up and a polishing of an environment, which I think is good. And the more professional and the more consumer-driven protection that is in place, obviously the better.
The service.
It's no different to saying every builder is shonky because one guy's on today tonight saying he didn't put a roof on a house. Where do you draw the line? I guess that's why people take referrals from people that have had good advice, and you have a level of comfort in dealing with people that other people you know deal with. You generally don't flip open a Yellow Pages and say, let me go and give my life savings to some ad.
Mm.
I get a number of referrals in my line of work from people that have appreciated and understood and seen benefit in what we do.
Yeah.
And then they refer their friends because there's a like-minded approach and there's a level of comfort in testing it, feeling it out, and then referring people that you know. Banking institutions, billing people that are deceased, and things that are just grossly inappropriate.
Mm.
I look to always take a step back and say, would I do this for my mum?
Mm. Mm.
Now, people may or may not have the risk profile of my mum.
Okay.
That's for them to decide.
Is it buyer beware then?
I think it's be informed.
Yeah.
Ask the questions, seek referrals, and make sure that you have a clear understanding of what you're going in to get, why you want it, and generally speaking, take referrals from people that you know and trust, because if their experience has been good, they've paved
Absolutely.
The way for you.
Yeah, okay, 20 to 5. And if you'd like to ask a question of Luke Smith, we're coming toward the end of another financial year. You're kidding me?
Yeah, you're blinking. It's Christmas. So I guess today we're going to talk about getting ready for 30 June and making sure that you don't leave it to the last minute, because believe it or not, if it's not in the bank, it didn't happen. And the day you paid for something or transferred money doesn't count.
Yeah.
Especially in the super world, if it's not cleared funds, it didn't happen in the 2018 financial year. So we're going to talk about some strategies and some things that people can think about today to make sure that they're ready. I know we will blink and it'll be the end of April. And May and June will be upon us in no time. So be proactive. Don't leave it to the last minute and go, oh, I missed out on a tax deduction, because a couple of thousand here and a couple of thousand there.
Yeah.
Lots of small fish make for a big fry.
What's the first step then?
Be proactive.
Yeah.
I guess the most important thing is be proactive. Think about the things that you can bring forward from a deduction standpoint. So if you've got gearing loans, if you've got margin loans, even the prepayment of income protection. You know, we've spoken in other shows about the deductibility of income protection and making sure that your salary and your earnings can continue if you can't work. Prepaying things on an annual basis this time of year makes a lot of sense, because you've got 12 months worth of benefit from the product that you're maintaining, but you're going to claim that deduction in 2 months and bring forward a year's worth of spend. So it's a very good time to be thinking about paying a little bit extra now and paying that annual fee, because in July when you lodge your tax return, where things are deductible, it's very, very good to bring them forward, because you'll get a greater bang for your buck straight away.
And also margin lending loans to claim next year. So
you're exactly right. So if you've got property loans, margin loans, or anything where the interest cost is deductible, talk to your provider about being able to prepay that. You may make a monthly payment throughout the year.
But is there a limit, Luke?
Generally not.
No.
It depends on what you're doing. Obviously, with superannuation, there's a limit because there's a maximum amount of money. So $25,000 is the most you can put into super and claim a tax deduction, including your employer contribution. So don't get caught thinking that you can put $25,000 in and your employer will do something different. Make sure you check. Make sure you take into account what your employer is putting in under your 9.5 or your 15.4% contribution if you're employed by the government. because that's a very good way of making sure that you are maximising the tax efficiency of how you receive your salary.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few other ways that we're going to talk about today about making sure you can find some cash and how you can pay those different things before the 30th of June and then claim them in July and maximise
so
your position.
So start now.
Be proactive. Start now. Don't be that person that walks in my office with $10,000 cash and says, I want a deduction, because unfortunately it's not going to happen.
Okay. And what about commencing a pension, draw funds from your super, use all that as well?
So, again, another way to make sure that you've got the capital to do what you want to do. We've spoken about the benefit of transition to retirement pensions in the past. So this time of year, starting a pension and drawing money out of super, potentially on a concessionally taxed or a tax-free basis, is a good way to capitalise the funds that are available to then put into super and claim a deduction. People need to remember that employees can now make a personal deductible contribution to super. In the past, everything had to be salary sacrificed before the 1st of July 2017. Now employees, as opposed to self-employed people, can throw the money in and claim a deduction.
Is there a ceiling?
Yeah, $25,000.
$25,000
is the most an individual can claim a tax deduction for going into superannuation. There are other thresholds for making contributions, but a transition retirement pension is a really good way of liquidating or freeing up some capital in super whilst you're still working, and then being able to put in a deductible contribution to offset the taxable portion of the salary that you receive.
Yeah. It sounds, Luke Smith, that like you really should seek advice on these sort of things too. If you're a duck without a paddle, so to speak.
Very much so. The two, I guess, key things for us is don't leave it too late and get some advice. Because I say on this show week in, week out, and I've even got the plaque on the counter in the office, you don't know what you don't know. And finding out later or leaving it too late could cost you $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, and if you expand that out over 4 or 5 years, you could be looking a gift horse in the mouth and foregoing 10, 15 grand's worth of deductions.
Can some of the fees that you are charged, or you know how much you pay for this, is that tax deductible?
Correct.
It is.
Yep.
So why muck around then?
Well, exactly right.
Yeah.
There's nothing more frustrating than someone coming in and going, oh, if only I'd known I would have done that before.
Yeah.
Or leaving it too late and not being able to claim the deduction. So if you don't have income protection and it's something that you think you may need, there is a timeline to get it done. So there's applications and underwriting and things that need to be done. It's not a case of walking on the 15th of June and potentially get it finished. There is a facility where that could happen. However, if they need to write to your doctor or you've got a medical history of something and you know you've got to make sure you've told the truth, if they don't want to investigate anything and that runs over the 30th of June, then obviously you're not going to be claiming it in this financial year. So be proactive. Don't leave it too late. And if you do want to come and get some advice, just remember that financial planning advice for an ongoing basis is generally tax deductible as well.
So what have you got to lose?
So really, if you do nothing, you pay tax and get nothing. And the grass doesn't need to be any greener at Parliament House.
You can give Luke and his team a ring too, 6260 4749. Offset accounts. Elaborate, please, Luke.
Wonderful functionality. We love them. Banks hate them. Basically,
why do they hate them?
Well, because it gives the onus or the control back, or in a way, you think about it, gives the power back to the person borrowing the money. So if you've got a $100,000 loan and you have $100,000 in your offset account, that loan is effectively repaid in the eyes of the bank where you have an interest-only loan. Now, you then have the benefit as the borrower to have access to that $100,000. So if you want to go and buy a Ferrari, you want to take the kids on a holiday, you want to pay some school fees, whatever you want to do, you have the benefit of offsetting the interest that you would have otherwise incurred on the borrowing, but then not giving up access to that capital, which many moons ago when I was a boy, the bank took your money and that was it. You paid your loan and you didn't get anything back.
So. Yes, I'm enticed or seduced to say, why don't the banks tell you? But of course they won't tell you.
Oh, they tell you.
Yeah.
But I guess it's like most things in life. You can Google anything you want on the internet. It's knowing how to understand it and how to apply it. That's where the value is at.
Yeah. So you're looking at an average home loan at what percentage?
Yeah. So if you take an average scenario, if people have money in their offset account and we're leading into 30 June and you're saying, well, I can't save money on a weekly or fortnightly basis to make a deduction. If you've got money in your offset account, if we assume that the home loan has an average rate of about 4, you could take $10,000 out of that offset account, you could put it into superannuation, obviously within your contribution caps. So for somebody on $85,000 that could be paying tax at 39 cents in the dollar, you're looking at a deduction or a benefit when you weigh the two up between borrowing the money, paying tax at 39%, paying 15% contributions tax to super, you're 24% in front. And if I said to you, look, do you want a 24% return between now and the 1st of July? Most people jump out of their chair and go,
yeah, that's right.
Throw me the ball.
And that's across the board.
Well, yeah, exactly right. Now, depending on what you earn and what your marginal tax rate is, it's going to either be higher or lower. If you're on the top marginal rate, obviously the tax deduction is better because the difference between 49 and 15 is higher. Yeah. But it's about understanding where you can get money from and then being proactive and making sure that you're not just handing money over in tax. And look, I'm not against paying tax. We all have a social responsibility to pay something. I don't believe we need to pay everything. So if you can try and maximise that over a couple of years... it has a lot of value.
There's no law in minimising your tax. There's nothing against that, is there?
We're definitely not using the word avoid. We're just considering other alternatives.
That's a good way to put it. Now, what if you're not claiming a deduction for super?
Yeah, look, if you're leading into retirement, thinking about how you put your money into super is very important as well. So we've talked about the concessional cap, which is $25,000. On another show, we talked about non-concessional contributions, where money goes into super and a deduction is not claimed. So the maximum for that is $100,000 each financial year, or $300,000 over a rolling three-year period.
$100,000 a year, $300,000 in three.
Correct. Okay. So you could, for example, sell a property and say, right, I'm going to retire this year and I'm going to throw the money into super. You could, if you wanted to, throw $300,000 in today. It just knocks you out for the next 3 years from making that sort of contribution in the future. So, again, being proactive and making sure that if you are thinking about retiring, say, at the end of the year, you don't want to put in any more than $100,000 before the 30th of June, potentially, because think about this. If we throw $300,000 in today, we're knocked out for the next 3 years. However, if we threw $100,000 in this year and then put $300,000 in on the 1st of July... we've got $400,000 in.
And you're free.
And we're free.
Yeah.
So timing and being proactive and thinking about the hows, the whens and the whats is really important, because it's very important that people understand not just the short-term implications, but also the bigger picture and how they can get other assets into superannuation, because the government did reduce this threshold. It used to be $540,000 over 3 years. It's now $300,000. So timing of contributions and the hows and the whens is really important, because if you rush out and throw all your money in today, you've just prevented yourself from taking advantage of the same rules next year.
Yeah. So do 100,000, then on the 1st of July, do the 300.
That could be, if you have a significant sum, especially within a couple, getting money into a tax-free environment is very important. So if you put 100,000 in, you're fine. If you put 101,000 in,
you've blown it
then
again.
You trigger your three-year threshold. So think about when and how. Yeah. So there's the deductible conversation, then there's the non-deductible conversation, because obviously when you're in pension, everything inside that fund is tax-free. Whether Bill does or doesn't take our franking credits, it's not law yet, so let's not get our undies in a bunch.
All right.
But these are the things people need to be thinking about leading up to age 65.
Certainly. Is there anything we should think about self-employed? We think about now, 30th of June's coming up.
For the self-employed people out there coming into 30 June, obviously most self-employed people have very good accountants, so take their advice. If you don't have one, get one, because you don't know what you don't know and you could be missing out on a range of deductions. Obviously, max out your contributions, because generally self-employed people may look at their business as their superannuation. But when you have a choice about the tax you're going to pay, speak to your accountant about maxing out your concessional contributions. Also, think about the $20,000 instant asset write-off for business equipment that could be claimed. So
that's still in, is it, the $20,000?
Yep, that's still in. I've got it on good authority from an accountant that I deal with, that is still there. Obviously, I'm not here to give tax advice, but ask your accountant, he'll know about it. Again, be proactive, because you don't want to go out and try and buy a car on the 28th of June.
So if you go out and buy a ute for $20,000 now, you're okay?
That's my understanding of it.
A desk for the office,
all
of
that. Up to $20,000 for business equipment, and you can claim that straight away.
Surely, Luke, that'd be great for any business, big or small.
It's again about managing your depreciation, your cash flow and things like that. That's why getting advice and being proactive is important. And obviously there's also the small business income tax offset for business income for sole traders and partnerships. That allows you a tax offset of up to about $1,000. So speak to your accountant, because you don't want to miss out on something just because you thought you could do it yourself.
Yeah.
Save a couple of bucks. I generally find
that... But going back to what you said earlier, Luke Smith, those are deductible anyway, so why not get the advice? Right. Pay a couple of dollars and get it all done properly.
It's going to walk out the door by itself.
Yeah.
You might as well get something for your spend.
And you can call Luke Smith 6260 4749. 6260 4749. And as